Lecture topic, Seed of Sincerity.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لامرئ ما نوى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. From a very young age, we get to learn certain things. Among them is that we see how a little plant grows out of his seed. So somewhere back in the day, we would have seen, in our very young days perhaps, somebody planted a seed somewhere, whatever plant it was, whatever crop was required, some mealy plant, some other, whatever thing that was required for day-to-day use, planted in some plant pot outside the house, or in a more bigger scale, but we saw one seed being planted. And then from that seed, in time, that little shoot started coming out, and then that grew, and it was some seed of a tree. Then we saw someday that tree growing and being nurtured, and then someday it came to the point where that tree started bearing fruit. And now there was one seed planted, and now there's sometimes dozens and sometimes hundreds of fruit on that one tree. So now we saw this whole process, and if not in our very early days in life, then much later, but we saw it. It starts off with that seed. And sometimes the seed was planted and being watered and whatever else being done, somebody was fertilizing that soil, nothing. Nothing came out of it. So, person who has the understanding of what's going on, so he will know when something is wrong with the seed. The seed itself was corrupted, was contaminated, something or the other, or a dead seed. As a result, no shoot came through, no plant, no flowers, no fruit, nothing. So these are all very important lessons in life. And this very seed, which is the starting point of this tree, and then if that seed is good, that seed is of excellent quality, then it gives rise to a beautiful tree, a tree that is very productive. And if that seed is dead, then that's where it finishes off. Nothing comes out of it. So this is a very important and fundamental lesson that as servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are also traversing this path in dunya to reach Allah Ta'ala. And this entire journey to get to Allah Ta'ala, this journey starts off with a seed, with the seed of niyat, the seed of what intention is in the heart. Niyat itself, it comes from the word nawat, and nawat means seed. So now the root of every amal, the very seed of every amal, even the amal of iman itself, if a person is reciting the shahadat and his intention in his heart is sincere, it is genuine, he wants to bring iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his heart is wholeheartedly accepting iman, so that sincerity of the heart, this recitation of shahadat now has become accepted, and this takes him out from the darknesses of kufr and shirk and brings him into the light of Iman. And the same words that he uttered in the same melodious manner, maybe he learnt it somewhere beforehand, made mashk and practiced it. But if he's just saying it on the surface, but the heart, there's no Iman in it, there's no genuine intention, sincere intention, it is just for some ulterior motive, just to secure some material or worldly benefit, or just to save himself from some problem in some way, then this is called nifaq. He recited the same things, the same words, he maybe recited it in a better way, more melodiously than the first person, but it's of no benefit to him. Rather, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqeen, those who just surface iman, in reality nothing, just a pretense, just a lie, they will be worse off than the open kafir also. They will be even in a deeper point of Jahannam, فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. In the lowest point of Jahannam, meaning the most intense part of it. Now this was that deception that they tried to put people into and deceiving them to make them believe that they are mu'mineen, whereas in reality in their hearts there is no iman. But the whole issue was the heart. The seed was not there. Dead. So the surface is like a plastic plant now. What fruit is a plastic plant going to bear? So on the top its surface, kept a nice beautiful plastic, very looking even more beautiful sometimes than the real seed is so nicely carved out and made, but then absolutely no benefit. It will give no fragrance and give no fruit and nothing. Completely of no benefit. So now this is that seed, the seed of niyat. The seed of niyat is what will determine what's going to come out of that amal. If that niyat is for Allah, now this is the root aspect in everything. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, such a great kitab that the whole world has benefited from centuries and continues to benefit, and inshallah this benefit will continue till Qiyamah. Starting of his kitab with this very hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Now what is this message that he's been given? It was a very great personality, Ibn Abi Jamira. And he wrote a commentary of selected ahadith of Bukhari Sharif. Very great Sufi and pious person, and a very great muhaddith and scholar as well. So in the commentary of this hadith Sharif, he writes that it's my desire, my wish, that there should be some fuqaha. Now what is, as we understand, somebody who, now in our terminology and our understanding, somebody is an alim, then somebody is a muhaddis, or somebody is a mufti, then somebody is a muhaddis. We understand some kind of ranks. The highest rank that a person can gain is that of faqahat. The deep understanding which takes a person to the level of a faqih. The fuqaha were like the four a'imma, the four imams of fiqh. Many others of that era, these were great fuqaha of the time. And he's talking about people of that caliber, that level, people who have that deep understanding. He says, I wish there were some fuqaha who dedicated themselves to do nothing else but to sit and teach people all the time what is niyat and how to make the right niyat. They must have no other job. Their entire time and effort must be dedicated to this. Now what they understood, subhanAllah, about the importance of niyat, that a personality of this caliber is expressing this kind of wish and desire, that I wish that there were some fuqaha who did nothing else. Are we talking about people like you're talking about now in a worldly context? One is you get a lawyer, and then you get a maybe junior counsel, and then somebody is some senior counsel, and the advocate in between somewhere, and then he became a senior counsel, and then maybe the senior counsel somewhere, I don't know if that exists, Now you're saying, talking about somebody of that caliber, that he must sit and just explain to people how to start off with some whatever that legal issue, where the starting point. He mustn't get into all the other complexities, then leave it for somebody else. He must just teach them how to start. So what must he teach them how to start? They'll learn it somewhere, they'll Google it somewhere. They'll find it maybe in some book. Now that is just for the understanding, to understand what this great personality is saying. I wish that there were some fuqaha who did nothing else but teach people niyat. And now, for us it's such a simple thing. For us niyat, subhanallah, my niyat, I already made it last time, long time ago, I pressed the button, it's carrying on, running automatically. There was a very great muhaddis, Yazid bin Harun. He narrated this hadith sharif, the first hadith of Bukhari sharif. This was before Bukhari sharif came into existence as well, before Imam Bukhari's existence. He was in the early 2nd century. So in any case, he narrated this hadith sharif, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. When he narrated this hadith sharif, one of the people present in that gathering was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he heard this, he knew the hadith. Not that he heard it for the first time, but now he heard it again being related, being reported. So, when he heard this hadith, he said, subhanallah, this is a very difficult thing. We might wonder, I didn't find any difficulty in this up to now. What difficulties? What is he talking about? Maybe he wasn't so qualified. Maybe we are far more qualified than him. But a personality of that caliber, a faqih, an imam, a muhaddis, and a very great Allah wala. And he's saying, this is a very difficult thing. Because this heart just keeps flipping from one end to the other. And to keep it on track is such a task. Now we might wonder, what task is this? What flipping? And my heart doesn't flip anywhere. Because unfortunately sometimes our heart is already where it shouldn't be. So now we don't even notice where it's flipping because it didn't have to flip anyway, it's already flipped. So now this is such a fundamental aspect, niyat. This is the very seed of every amal. If this niyat is dead, it is corrupted, doesn't have the true elements of ikhlas in it, then everything is lost. So such an important fundamental aspect. For us it's mashallah, very very simple matter, very easy. There's no need to reflect upon our intentions. No need to search within our hearts. What am I doing? How am I going about things? No need to keep checking that my intention didn't get good. It started off maybe on a good note. It didn't get derailed somewhere. Because this is a path. The person is walking this road. And like there are thieves on the road that we walk in this dunya, this path to Allah Ta'ala also, this path also is, there's a lot of thieves on the way. And Shaitan already declared he's going to be a thief on the way. When he was rejected from the heavens and he was chased out, then he declared this, that wherever this person is moving on the right path, on Sirat al-Mustaqim, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He took a qasam, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I'll be sitting on the side of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. To do what? Like the hijackers will sit somewhere, the robbers and thieves will sit somewhere, waiting for some person to pass by who they can pounce upon. So Shaitan declared the same thing, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Anybody who's going to traverse the straight path, I'm going to be there on the side. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I'll come then from every direction to try and derail the person. And derail him how? In many ways. And one of the very crucial ways, derail him by corrupting his intention. He might have started off on a good note, but now corrupt his intention and don't bother thereafter, because he is now done. Once his intention is corrupted, now he sometimes even fool himself, thinking that he is doing a great deal, whereas he's already gone far off. But this is such an important matter, and therefore it requires repeated reflection. And a person who is trying to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, then sometimes, mashallah, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, he'll start engaging in amal, start doing more good deeds. Sometimes he forgets where he's heading, what he's doing it for, and starts becoming proud within himself, starts thinking good about himself, starts forgetting that he is still far away from the destination. Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi, he was once performing his salah, and he used to perform very lengthy salahs. So one day while performing some lengthy salah, and some person was seated close by, the person started looking at him in amazement, and he somehow realized that this person, maybe just on the corner of the eye, his eye just maybe caught sight of this person or someone. This person is now looking at me very intently. When he finished his salah, now this niyat and his heart flips in such a way that he is not looked after, Allah forbid, start of way and finish of way. So when he finished his salah, he turned to the person and said, "Look, don't let this deceive you. Don't let this deceive you." Now, in our case, if somebody now observes something, which I hope he looked properly, and I hope he remembers what he saw also, and he's saying to him, "Don't let this deceive you. What you saw, don't let it deceive you." You do know that Shaitan also worshipped Allah Ta'ala for a very, very long time. Now what's the link? The Shaitan worshipped Allah Ta'ala for ages. And then what happened? Where he finished off? How he flipped and fell? How hard he fell? And how totally rejected he became? So don't look at this now and feel that this is a very great accomplishment. Till a person hasn't reached the destination, he can't make any claim of any sort. Till he hasn't reached that destination safely, doesn't know what still lies in the way. And how he is going to respond to that. How he is going to react to it. Whether he will continue safely or he will fall. And that fall happens, that slip happens in the heart, in moments. From where to where a person sometimes slips, Allah save us. So this aspect of niyat, the Ahlullah, they paid a very great amount of attention to niyat, kept on over and over checking niyat. We don't think there's a need for it, but they felt such a great need for it. And subhanallah, to what an extent they checked and rechecked, and to what an extent that they sort of scrutinized everything. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, he is seated on the minbar and he is delivering a talk, conducting a majlis, and in that he then started saying something. He said, "Allah Ta'ala has opened out something to me, some ilm Allah has inspired in my heart, and I'm saying this out of tahdees bin ni'mah. I'm saying this in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ." That mention the ni'mat of your Rabb. Mention it. Out of what? Out of sheer gratitude. That this is purely Allah's grace. Purely Allah Ta'ala's fazal and karam. His ihsan. But now this is not, if a person doesn't have that scrutiny in his heart, then what is he saying? Because it's such a fine line between tahdees bin ni'mah and trying to find some kind of name and fame, some recognition. What is really the niyat? Very fine line. Many things, there's a very fine line. On the one side is, for example, takabbur, pride, completely haram. Such a severe sin, one mustard seed, the extent of one mustard seed of pride also will prevent the person's entry to Jannah. Such a terrible sin. And on the other side is izzatul nafs. Izzatul nafs, a person's self-dignity. He must not deliberately humiliate himself. Must be humble. Humility is in the heart. But don't do things that will make oneself a mockery. Now this is a very fine line. Sometimes a person thinks, what I am doing is part of izzatul nafs. What I am doing, this is a requirement of izzatul nafs. Whereas he has gone into takabbur already. But he is deceiving himself, this is part of izzatul nafs. Very fine line. And this fine line, those who are experienced in the field, they recognize where it really is. Sometimes a person is saying something, he believes within himself also, I am saying it for the right purpose. But whereas his intention behind it is wrong. But he fell into his own deception also. So in any case, we are talking about Masha Ali Thani Rahmatullah. On the member he started saying this, Allah inspired me with this ilm, and ta'deef bin ni'mah, and saying this, that you won't hear this from anybody else. Meaning such a, I haven't read it in any kitab. It is something Allah has inspired on my heart. And subhanAllah, there were not one, not dozens, hundreds of such things which you won't find in any other kitab. Which Allah inspired on his heart, which is so clear, it opens out an entire different horizon of knowledge when studying various ahadith, etc. That subhanAllah, what way he opened it out and made it so clear. This is ilmul wahabi. This is a knowledge which Allah inspires in the heart of those who are truly connected to Allah Ta'ala and who make amal on that ilm. So in any case, as he started saying this, that I have this inspiration and I'm saying this tahdeef bin ni'mah, and he suddenly just put his head down, kept quiet, and he just put his head down. And then he started saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfir. He's seated on the minbar, the entire gathering is around him, and now mid-talk, he stopped right there, kept quiet, looked down into his heart, so to say. He said, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And he said, what I just said, I'm retracting. So I started saying that it is tahdeez bin ni'mah. And when I looked into my heart, I realized it wasn't there. Now, we might wonder, what was it then? And what it really may have been, might have been just a slight, a little thought of some sort, which he, the extent of scrutiny that they had on their hearts, that he caught it right there. And he took care of it immediately. But now in the midst of this gathering, he is making istighfar, he is retracting, and he is saying that this was a very big statement I started making, and I am making, and then he said that al-tawbatu mithlul hawba. If a wrong is committed privately, then the person must repent privately also and make tawbah privately. But if he's done something in public, then he must retract in public also. I did this, this was in the midst of this gathering. And I started saying this tahdeez bin ni'mah, whereas it wasn't. So I therefore am retracting it in front of everybody. Now this was the extent of the gaze on the heart, the scrutiny on the heart, what is my niyat? Why I said this? What was the reason? What was the underlying? Why am I doing something? I am saying I am doing it for this purpose. Is that really the purpose? In the court of Allah Ta'ala, will that stand? That this is why I said this, this is why I did this, this was the underlying reason for my action. Will that stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala? The gaze on the heart, the scrutiny on the heart, the scrutinizing of that niyat, because that's the seed. And as mentioned Ibn Abi Jamira, Abdullah Ali, he says, my wish is that some fuqaha, personalities of that insight, that caliber, they must sit and do nothing else. They must just sit and be available, people must come to them and learn how to make the right niyats. He must teach people what are the right objectives. how to formulate the correct intention. That's a job as well. Says, gee, that's a job. That's a very big job. We've never heard of such a title or such a job, but he says, this is my wish. Now what this meant, this was meant to emphasize that whether that would ever happen or not, it was meant to emphasize the importance of learning niyat and checking niyat and reflecting upon niyat and correcting niyat. Many times, if just the niyat all round is correct, for example, in a household, everybody's niyat is correct, everybody got the right intentions, great deal of the problems will finish off right there. Insan is insan, issues happen, but if the niyats are right, the niyats are right, which can stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala, a great deal of the problems will finish off right there. Because if the niyat is right, what will be the core of every niyat? The core of every niyat, that even this nikah I undertook was for the niyat. Now, when a person is undertaking nikah, so it is his niyat. Nikah. Well, he is now a young man, he needs to move on in life, he has a need to get married, so now he's getting married. But number one niyat at that time was to have made the niyat, this is the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now this is the point is that whatever the human need is will get taken care of. Did he make this niyat to make it such a great ibadat also? This is a sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, by means of nikah, I will remain chaste and safe from sin, maintain the purity and chastity. Now that became a very great and noble intention. That this must become a means. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْدِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this is the means of keeping the gaze low and safeguarding the chastity. This is a niyat. So now he made all these niyats and other niyats of this nature. So now this niyat made it a very great ibadat. It is an ibadat in itself. It made it an even higher level ibadat. So now part of this, in this ibadat of nikah, what has happened now? So now there's some issues came up. But everybody's niyat is this, I undertook this nikah for Allah Ta'ala, to please my Rabb, to fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala that I should remain chaste and pure. Now this is a means Allah made way. So now when the underlying core niyat in it is that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased, that is the core niyat. So now some issue came up. So Allah Ta'ala mustn't be pleased in how I deal with this issue. So obviously if the whole nikah was undertaken to please Allah Ta'ala, how I deal with this issue also must be in a way that Allah is pleased. So now when that is the core niyat in a person, so will he lie about something? Will he exaggerate something? If he made a mistake in something, will he lie about it? And just now make a bigger issue. He won't lie, he won't exaggerate, he won't trample anybody's rights, he will not cause any zulm upon anyone, either party. Why? Because the primary niyat is Allah must be pleased. So now even in a problem, he is searching for that. What is going to please my Allah? How am I going to go about resolving this in a way that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased? So now when that is the case, it's not a matter of now pulling in my direction, I must be the one that now comes out better in this. How will Allah Ta'ala be pleased? What do I have to say? What do I have to do? How do I act? How do I react? But now when that niyat is there, underlying niyat. So now if there's the correct niyat all round, the niyats are clean and clear, everybody's got a clean and clear niyat, very easily problems will get resolved. In a business, there's different people together in a business, partners, and everybody's niyat is clean and clear, Everybody has a very, very clear intention, clean intention. In business also things happen. Sometimes things go haywire. But when everybody's niyat is the same, that in this business also, the primary thing is Allah's pleasure must be attained. I must not do anything to displease my Rabb. So things happen. But when things happen, then in that also how to deal with this in a way that Allah is pleased. Some other person will deal with that in that manner too. In every matter, his concern will be that his heart must be focused to Allah Ta'ala, not to ghayrullah. The Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned that when a person is performing salah, in his salah, he starts paying attention to things elsewhere, looking around, whatever. So this is described as ikhtilasu shaitan. This is shaitan stealing from his salah. Now he's in salah and he's paying attention to other things. But now this was, he moved his head somewhere in another direction, his eyes went elsewhere, and this was shaitan stealing. So the head moving in left and right and so on became a problem, that it became, it's described as shaitan stealing. What about the whole heart turning away from Allah Ta'ala? Yet the head turned away from the Qibla, this became a test of shaitan. Here in life the person's heart is gone to ghayrullah. His whole heart has turned in a different direction. His Qibla is lost. Qibla of life got lost. That ikhlas for Allah Ta'ala got lost. So when this became test of shaitan, what will that be? And this was where these personalities, they saw the need and the importance of that there must be this complete rectification of niyat. There must be no corruption in the intention. They had this all the time, that they would reflect and check and double check. And subhanAllah, in situations and conditions that we will take it for granted, we will have no issue with it, that then I have no issue, my niyat is always right. But if you look into the lives of our kabir, to what extent they checked in their lives, they double checked. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Mahmud Hasan Deoband rahmatullah alayh, who is the father of the ulama of Deoband, the ustad of the very great ulama of Deoband. So he was imprisoned in the island of Malta by the British on a charge of treason, that he was trying to now overthrow the British government from India because they had come there to try and destroy Islam and the Muslims. So now they had him arrested and they exiled him to this island, very, very harsh and severe conditions. And he was there for 3 years almost. Extremely hard conditions, harsh conditions. And on top of that, he was subjected to a great amount of torture as well. When he passed away, people giving ghusl to his body were shocked at the marks and whatever they saw on his back. And they were astounded. What is this? They had no idea. Until his last breath, he didn't say anything to anybody. And nobody had any idea what is this all about. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayh was at that time not present. He was gone on the instructions of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayh, some other place to set up makatib. So he was not present at the funeral because he was very far away. So in any case, when he came, eventually after news of the demise reached him, he left immediately and came 2-3 days later. So they asked him, do you know anything about this, what we witnessed? So he started tearing. And he said, I was not able to say it in his lifetime because he had completely forbidden me to ever mention one word about it to anybody. He says, during the day, he used to be taken away by the guards and used to be flogged and in so many other ways tortured. That was all the marks. And at night, because of that torture, he couldn't even sleep. The extreme pain and the severity of it. See, this is how his days went. Now, this kind of situation was born for such a long time. And then eventually, one day there was some rumor came around, and the rumor was, it was not a factual thing, it was a rumor, but the rumor was that there has been a decision made, a sentence has now been past that he is going to be executed. He's going to be hanged or whatever, that they're going to execute him. And others around him. So now this, at that moment in time, nobody was aware that this is just a rumor. Thought it was a genuine, authentic news. So the others saw him sitting in the corner, very, very quiet. Very quiet and deep thoughts, and somewhat in a lot of worry and some kind of grief. So he thought maybe this news disturbed him. So now all this qurbani that was being given and from long before, this was what was happening inside the prison, long before that the years and years of great sacrifice, now this very severe sacrifice, now he's sitting in the corner, sitting very grieved, very worried. But others got around him and they thought perhaps this news has disturbed him. So somebody finally took up the courage and said, "Brother, after all, this is what we were waiting for. Meaning, this is now the time that has come now for us to now be blessed with shahadat. And this is what we are waiting for. So, in other words, subhanAllah, this is something that we are all now supposed to be very happy about it." So then he turned to him and said, "But that is not what is grieving me in any way. That is something to be very happy about. But now that this is looming in front, that it appears that the time has come to leave this dunya and to go and meet Allah Ta'ala. So now the concern is that all this that was done, was it for Allah Ta'ala? And will it be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala? Whatever was being done, what was the underlying intention? Because that is what's going to count now when we're going to meet Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly, whatever it seemed like it was, but only Allah knows what was in the heart. And what was in the heart is what will count on that moment. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, that is what will count. So now that's the concern. What was in my heart?" Now people whose hearts are clean, whose hearts are connected to Allah Ta'ala, whose niyats are clean, the cleaner it is, the more concerned they are. The sign of a person's ikhlas, one of the signs of ikhlas, that his time in privacy is better than his time in public. His conduct in privacy is far better than his conduct in public. His manner that he deals with in his privacy between him and Allah Ta'ala is far more cautious than his manner that he deals with people. And this is a sign of ikhlas. And if it is the other way around, that in the presence of people, that is mashallah, it's excellent, everything is fine. But in privacy now, then the person takes qaza for the time that he was in public, under very, very great constraints, unable to do many things that were probably bubbling in his heart. Then that's a very, very dangerous situation. But the point is, we are all learning. We all have, this is the need for the discussions, for us to keep discussing this, keep repeating this lesson, keep reflecting upon it, keep reading about the ikhlas, practicing it. You might wonder, practicing, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, one of the very senior most khulafa, Hazrat Mashwadi Thambi rahmatullah alayhi, these people went through this path, and the greater that they ranks they reached, the more they became conscious of all this. So he says, "I practiced this. I practiced what? Practiced niyat. I practiced niyat." A person practices, he practice makes perfect. Yeah, I practiced it. He was giving a lesson to people around him, his students, his murids. I practiced it. How? He says, "Over time, I started stopping before everything. For a brief moment, few seconds, and reflecting first, what's my intention for doing what I want to do now? And then I corrected my intentions. Because now, initially, any intention comes away, and when a person looks deep down, then he sees it. Without searching for it, he doesn't realize it. And sometimes if a person's sight is poor, then even if he looks deeply also, he might not see it. He'll have to ask somebody else to show him. Because the person who is not sighted well, you won't be able to see it. He doesn't have that knowledge, that understanding, that insight. He takes it as done. He says, I practiced niyat. But then he gave one example. He says, when I come home after the long day of work, so now it's a natural thing now, my little child or grandchild, whoever he meant, will come running. So the human nature, father's human feeling with the child, that now to pick up the child, hug the child, show some affection to the child. He says, well, when I would see the child coming running, then this is there, it's a human feeling. Part of insan, it is fitrat, it is nature, but I'll stop. I'll stop for a second or two and remind myself that yes, this is human nature and I want to do it out of this human nature, but I'm not going to do it out of this human nature. I'm going to do it with this niyat. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to visit Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and his grandchildren, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anha, would come running. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then hug them, take them out. I am going to do this in emulation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this natural thing in insan, but now he made it an ibadat. Now this is what Ibn Abu Jamira rahimahullah said. My wish is people are taught niyat. Somebody just sits to teach them niyat. How to make niyat. How to check and double check. How to reflect. How to formulate the right intentions. And how to earn a lot through intentions. The person came to the masjid. He came to the masjid. But what effort it would have taken to make niyat. I'm going to the house of Allah Ta'ala. I'll perform my salah. I'll make the niyat of i'tikaf as well, and I'll make i'tikaf in the masjid. There will be some amal of deen taking place, I'll be part of that inshallah. I'll pass people on the way or in the masjid, I'll see people, I'll make salam to them. And I'll have some chance, I'll make some zikr as well. While I'm waiting for the salah to start, I got some time, I'll make some tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Perhaps some of these things may happen and some may not happen. But all those niyats he made, he got a separate reward for every niyat. Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of the mu'min is even greater than his amal. Because that niyat, he got the sawab of it already. The amal, Allah knows best, number one, it happened, don't happen. If it happens, whether at that time there's sincerity or not. But now so much could have been earned through that niyat. But to learn niyat. To learn niyat, to practice niyat. To put ourselves reminders. To make the right niyats. Until such time that that becomes part of the system. To make the right niyats in all the day-to-day things. And make all this, number one, ibadat and thawab. And number two, by making the right niyats, it'll save us from falling in the traps of shaitan. But shaitan sometimes in the right actions makes us make wrong niyats. In good deeds, he makes us have ulterior motives. He makes us do things and we project something, but behind the scenes is something else. But by practicing niyat, inshallah we'll get saved from that as well. So this is very great aspect of niyat. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq that we learn about this niyat, keep reflecting upon it, keep exercising and practicing this, that we get to make the correct intentions. And the most important thing is that we save ourselves, Allah Ta'ala save us, from all the wrong intentions, the ulterior motives, the things that destroy our amal, that cause us to lose all the good deeds of all the actions, all the effort gone to waste. Like in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, رُبَّ سَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. Many a fasting person gets nothing out of his fast except hunger. رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. Many a person skipped the whole night. All he got was wakefulness. Nothing. He didn't get anything else but besides losing his sleep. Why? Among other things, corrupted intention. The niyat got corrupted. Everything got lost. Nowadays the days of checks are already gone. So now, sometimes an example of a check may not be so easily understandable. But imagine a person now has got a check. Somebody gave him a check, 1 million rand. And now that's only proof he's got that now this money is, he is owed to him. But now he's upside down. So he scribbled something on it. He didn't realize it's a check. Scribbled something, was working out some numbers and figures. When he stayed, he tore it and threw it away. Now he's looking for the check. He realized he tore the check up. And there was no other proof. And whoever made the check is gone. We can't find him. So in those days, they say the check will bounce. But now, that check has, forget bouncing now, it got deflated completely. But now what grief will come upon him that he had this 1 million. He tore it and threw it away. Sometimes after the action, by showing off about that action, sum'ah, advertising it, it's like tearing that check up. He had it all there, tore it up and threw it away. Washed it down. Why? Because it was done quietly, privately, but now the intention was to make it known, to advertise it, to now make it a means of drawing some attention. Everything we're doing. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we do everything solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. We are all learning, this is a learning process. It's not anything to lose hope on, but the purpose is to get started. Not a matter of losing hope, but we must get started. Because life is very, very short. Allah knows best when our time comes. Before that moment, we have to get started at least and start moving. With that barakat, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take us to the destination. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and then go on.
صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. إله العالمين يا الله, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive all our major minor sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Forgive what we did deliberately, mistakenly, Ya Allah. Make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your sincere and mukhlis servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us those who do everything solely for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us ikhlas and kamil, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from riya, Ya Allah. Save us from sum'a, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from falling in the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us complete Islam and Tazkiyah, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts of all the evil qualities, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the noble qualities, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, bless us with taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with tawakkul, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with inamat and ruju, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with tawazu, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with forgiveness and compassion and mercy, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with kindness and generosity, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the noble and beautiful qualities, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the arrogance, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the world, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us the true lovers of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us his true ummatis, Ya Allah. Enable us to follow in the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us and cleanse us out from all the ways of Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those in any difficulties, hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those who are in debts, make their debts get paid out with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant tremendous barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever any Muslim is in any pain, difficulty, hardship, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, safeguard each one's iman and amal, Ya Allah. Safeguard each one's life, wealth and property, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant every mu'min afiyat in deed, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Sudan, other places in the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. You grant them total afiyat, Ya Allah. You protect them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, shower your special mercies and blessings upon them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah, you grant each one's dire needs, pious aspirations. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, grant each one afiyat in deen, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, whatever we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله